Tova, Saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and that means Happy New Year to you all. And welcome to the news portion of our program. Well, the question of the day is, will we or won't we? I admit I breathed a huge sigh of relief when I heard that we, at least for now, will not function as Al-Qaeda's army. Yes, that's what we would be doing. Obama also told the world, including Assad, don't worry, we'll only do a minor attack and you can still stay in power. Did he say that so Congress would approve, knowing really that it probably would escalate, maybe even to World War III? We are still not positive it was under Assad's command to use poison gas. I've read many articles confirming that it probably wasn't Assad. And even last spring when traces of sarin were found after some deaths, the UN admitted it was from the rebels, as reported in the Washington Times on May 6th, should you want to check that out. But did we do anything then? No. And prior to all that, in September of 2012, the Foreign Policy magazine reported that some chemical weapons were indeed unaccounted for and therefore missing. So do you think the rebels would do it again? I believe they have. For the mere reason that Obama declared for the rebels to hear that he would attack Assad if he crossed that red line. Hello? Who would our attacking Syria benefit? Let me ask you. Could Obama, because he so desperately wants Assad gone, make the red line statement, knowing the rebels, especially Al-Qaeda, who we've worked with before, by the way, would use such remarks as giving our permission to gas their people in the name of Allah, so we would then conquer them? Well, Saints, I'll let you draw your own conclusions. Oh, Washington's been passing the rhetoric that there are some good moderates fighting Assad, too. Yeah, maybe, but would Al-Qaeda ever let them take over? No way. We have a situation where our enemies are fighting our other enemies. So I say, let them go at it, because this, in no way, will help America. And in fact, just kill more innocent people. Besides that, those chemicals are being moved out. And why not? They now have time to do it. Really, in my opinion, Obama is a puppet of the rich men of the earth who want Assad out of there. For according to UN Agenda 21, there can be no dictators that might buck the globalist plan to control the world, especially if you sit on oil and gas pipelines, as Syria does. At least Assad, as did Mubarak in Egypt, they were tolerant of the Christians. We have seen 50 churches burned to the ground and hundreds of Coptic Christians killed by the so-called moderate Muslim Brotherhood. But where's the humanitarian outrage over that? The same will happen in Syria if Assad leaves. So as I said last week, I am against any war, not just for the principles I have laid out, but also for the billions of more dollars it will cost us. But Obama knows it is also a diversion to our very serious problems, like unemployment magnified by Obamacare, our privacies being destroyed, a plan to remove our guns, and our economy is bad, and it's getting ready to tank. Washington is engaged in a massive campaign to make Americans believe the economy is in recovery. But in reality, the United States is at the brink of a devastating economic crash that will cause catastrophic market losses and impoverish millions. Soon, we will be willing to do anything to cancel our debts that continue to skyrocket. In fact, the government has done nothing more than create a phony economy that is completely dependent on the ability to borrow more money that we can't pay back. The Fed knows that the United States economy is not recovering. It simply is being kept from collapse by artificially low interest rates and quantitative easing. and simply put, cooking the books. When that support system goes, the economy will implode. The fact is we're broke. We owe trillions. And even though the Dow is on its way to setting record highs, I believe it's just another lie, giving investors a false sense of security, because it's not that the stock market is gaining value, it's that our money is losing value. Anyhow, that's enough yuck for tonight. Thank the Lord who has it all under control to fulfill his prophecies. We are just a day away from the new year, and our Rosh Hashanah Feast of Trumpets celebrations begin this Thursday, the 5th of September, at Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor, and then on Friday, the 6th of September, in Chesterland at 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306. Both start at 7 p.m., so bring your waving flags, shofars, and tambourines to celebrate a year closer to his return. And remember, it's really you that keeps this program on the air, and we thank you for that. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Lashana Tova Tikatevu, meaning, may you be inscribed for a good year. And if you have made Jesus, Yeshua, Lord of your life, then you are in the Book of Life. And every year is a good year, and every day is a good day, when you know where you're going. Welcome to the live Shofar Ministries Hour, 1220 AM Christian Radio, or on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. Let's take some time to pray. Abba, we are thankful for this season of repentance. It's a special time that you've set apart from all the other times, a time when we're reminded to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. May we feel a special closeness as we draw nearer to you in the trust that comes from understanding and acting on your word. We pray for the spiritual and financial welfare of all our listeners. May you draw those in our families who have not yet known your salvation. You know, Yeshua's name means salvation. But we ask that you draw them to a life-changing encounter with Yeshua. Adonai, we lift up to you this program's financial needs, and we pray that those who can make a firm commitment to support this ministry do so, and soon. And we pass along to you, Father, the requests we received this week for healing, and especially for eye ailments, as well as family salvations, and for situations that only you can change. And we thank you for answering all those prayers in your great mercy. Please protect your beloved in Israel in these hard times. And we bless you and we praise you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. And amen again.
Double amen. That means good.
That's right. And we're glad that you tuned in tonight. As always, the phone lines are open. Should you have a comment or a question on Hebraic Roots or End Time Prophecy? And the number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. So call in if you have a question. Now, as we've previously discussed, we are now in the season called Teshuvah, which means to repent and turn toward the Lord. What we are teaching all month is actually about Hebraic roots, and probably into the first week in September, since that first week is Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. But the fall feasts are basic teachings that all Christians should be aware of and sharing it with others. And that's the key word. It's one thing to know it, hear it every year, but if you don't share it, then you're just like hearing it all over again. So you need to share what you learn with others. That's all about discipling. Now, there is a reason why God has brought this revelation about his feasts, his appointments, out of the dark ages and into the light.
And it's so we, our generation, can understand and know that he is coming to fulfill the last three feasts,
yes,
just as he literally and in person fulfilled the first three. and sent his Holy Spirit on the 4th.
That's right.
And that's a feast called Pentecost.
That's right. So it's just, I mean, it's like, duh.
I know. This is critical. It helps to understand how the fall feasts are a prophetic sign that he's coming once again, the second time, and in the fall season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We do know that.
We do know that.
There's some things that we know. And, you know, I believe he does reveal things to his closer students. There's no doubt about it.
I believe that, too.
So.
He shares things with those that are closest to him. He tells more.
You'll see. And it's all in the Word, though. I mean, it's just like a light bulb goes off when you read something, if you, you know, stay close to him. And it's right there in James 5, and it's been there all along.
Says
that he compares his coming to the time when the fruit is harvested. Now, come on. He also compares both of his comings to the yearly two major rains in the spring and the fall.
Or the early rain and latter rain.
That's right. And Joel 2 talks about that as well. And we talked about that when we taught Joel. Remember
that's
that?
Right.
A few months ago?
That was a good program.
Yes.
Which you can
good
find,
teaching.
By the way,
yes,
at shofarministries.net.
Net.
Look at podcast, click on podcast, it'll take you to all.
And they're all labeled, so you can learn anything you want to. There's just a plethora of teachings.
It really is it's a gold mine.
I'm trying to use bigger words lately, John.
I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, our Jewish spiritual ancestors in the ancient days and the first century, as recorded in the Talmud, in the Midrash, the oral traditions, and other historical writings, believed that the resurrection of the righteous would occur on the anniversary week of the creation of the world, specifically Adam. Now, today we call Rosh Hashanah, which is Hebrew, means the head of the year, okay? Or Christians like to call it the Feast of Trumpets.
And tonight, aren't we going to see a few more idioms or common set phrases that we use for this feast as well?
Yes, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at some of the other expressions.
Expressions.
Yes, we are.
It's good to know.
Anyway, I think we'll do just a quick recap of the month that we're in, okay? This time of Elul. Because our forefathers believed the resurrection would be one of these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Not sure which day or hour, of course. But, you know, as we get close to his coming, I think we do have an idea. And when we get to that no one knows the day or the hour part where we talk about that, I think we'll explain that really was just an idiom for Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
But we'll save that.
Save that for later.
But each year, beginning 30 days before the memorial of the creation of, specifically the creation of Adam, the Jews would doubly examine themselves. I mean, really hard, thoroughly, for any unrepentive sin or unforgiveness from anyone or to anyone, or actually anything that might keep them from being a part of this most exciting and most talked about anticipated event.
And it's an anticipated event for us, the believer.
You betcha. Because we know what, if it's the resurrection, if you're still alive, it's called the rapture.
That's right.
Yes, and it's the only reason, really, that we want to be righteous is so that we're part of that righteous resurrection, where we shed this flesh to spend eternity in a good place with our Lord.
I know I want to do that.
Of course, we all do. Don't want to go the other place.
Mm-mm.
So anyhow, this month of Elul on the Hebrew calendar is of close examination. And
it's a season called the season of Teshuvah.
Right.
And that is Hebrew for repent or turn, return.
That's right. And we saw how God would use the 6 months during Teshuvah to warn or chastise his people, even when necessary. And we gave some examples.
Yes, we did.
And it is taught by the rabbis that this 40 days of Teshuvah, or repentance, was the same time period that Moses spent on Mount Sinai pleading for forgiveness for the people of Israel. Remember, John, after the Israelites demonstrated their lack of faith in God by making and worshiping the golden calf.
Okay, you can't forget something like that. That, of course, led to Moses smashing the first set.
It did.
The first set of tablets.
But then we also know that Moses ascended up again to the top of the mountain, and that was the first of Elul. And it does fit the timeline in Scripture, so I think the rabbis were right on about that.
I sure think so, too.
And he remained there. Moses remained on the mountain for another 40 days, beseeching God to spare the Israelites. God responded positively by instructing Moses to create the new set of tablets of the Ten Commandments. And then Moses returned to the people on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And I believe Jesus will return on a Yom Kippur at the end of 7 years as well.
That's right. I believe that's
right. Moses is a type of Jesus, so blah.
He sure is. And they said to look for a prophet and like unto me and listen to him, and he was referring to Yeshua.
That's right.
And we'll be expounding a little bit more on the Day of Atonement.
Yes, we are.
Now, Sheila, didn't you also say you read that it was during Teshuvah that John the Baptist was preaching repentance in the wilderness?
Mm-hmm.
And then later, Yeshua went into the wilderness for 40 days, coming back on Yom Kippur.
Yes.
That was pretty astounding.
That is pretty amazing because his birthday, of course, is on the Feast of Tabernacles,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we'll be talking about that some more, too. But just prior to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist was preaching repentance. And so it had to be Teshuvah, because Teshuvah is before the fall feast.
That's how that gospel opens up, and that's what he's preaching, is repentance.
Boy, I'll tell you what, John, it is just amazing when you know just a little bit of Hebraic roots, how everything just falls in line. It makes so much sense.
I know. It's like adding that booster to your gasoline tank.
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing.
So, Sheila, Adam was created at really the end of the creation of the world, right at probably the last of the 6 days. Probably
at the end of the day, I'd say.
At the end of the day. And, of course, then he rested on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. He did. And as we have stated on many programs, actually, we believe that this picture of creation is a picture of a day as 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the very end of the 6 day or 6,000 years from Adam, the millennial kingdom begins with the Sabbath, when his bride is taken up to God's mansion for our wedding to Jesus. And for 7 years, we're going to be on a honeymoon, while the earth goes through its cleanup time, with Jesus then returning to earth at the end with us, now his wife, and Revelation 19:7 calls us his wife now.
Mm-hmm.
He finishes the cleanup by throwing the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire. He separates the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the unrighteous, and ushers in the millennial kingdom with Jesus as king for the rest of the 1,000 years. You know, I just have to take a minute here and just tell you, people, if you haven't made Jesus Lord over your life, in other words, are you still playing footsie with the world? Are you justifying your sin, like having sex outside of the marriage bed? It's still a sin. And you cannot practice these things and expect God to overlook it just because society says it's okay.
Doesn't mean it's okay.
No.
No.
There's a lot of things going on in society right now that makes my hair stand on end when I see it. I can't hardly believe it.
This is the perfect time to turn your heart to the Lord. Perfect time. Let's reiterate this important fact. To understand Christ's coming, both the first time and his return, you need to know about his appointments that God made with his people, incorporating our lost first century Hebrew roots is imperative to putting the pieces together for that end time puzzle to get all connected up there in your head.
That's right. It is imperative.
Yes.
And again, we're going to be teaching about Rosh Hashanah or the creation of man, because to me, it's one of the best of all the feasts.
Oh, yeah, Rosh Hashanah, that's the first of three. And these are the yet unfulfilled fall appointments. So remember that, unfulfilled by Yeshua personally, and fall. Those two things down,
That's right.
You got the important stuff.
And when we come back.
When we come back.
We're going to continue and talk about this at the end of 6,000 years. Okay. What's going to happen? So,
Where are we going?
When we come back?
Yeah. Where are we going?
We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And I was wondering, do you mind, John, maybe singing your song tonight? It's such a beautiful song. We haven't done it in a long time.
Okay, I happen to bring my guitar right here. And do you play bass or drums?
Absolutely. And then we'll be back after that.
Okay, short break.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And that, of course, was Like a Sparrow. That was the song that I wrote with the... Oh, there we are. Welcome back to Shofar Ministries Hour. That song, Like a Sparrow, I wrote that quite a while back. And...
good song.
Good song, and we like sing along to it. And Sheila was playing bass on that. Not really, but she was singing backup.
That's for sure.
Well, okay, we've got a lot to cover right now, so I want to just let everyone know that you're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour right here in 1220 AM, The Word. And the phone number, if you call in with a question about end times, is 888-677-WORD. Now, we'll repeat that later on, but... if you have a question for Sheila or would you like her to speak at your church or group, just email her at Sheila, at shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006 and leave a detailed message.
That's right. Don't get it confused with the number for the station. If
That's
you call
right.
into the station, it's 888-677-WORD.
Mm-hmm. And Sheila's number is 440-834-9006, and the email is sheila@shofarministries.net.
There you go.
Okay.
Also, your donations are especially important at this point, very vital to keeping this program on the air. So if you like this kind of show, you need to help support it.
Are you learning from
That's
it
right.
like I am?
That's right. And I don't know if you've been listening to a long time, you realized probably that we really don't petition funding unless we really need to. But now is that time. Airtime is costly, and donations are extremely low. So if you are getting blessed again and learning from this program, I just pray that you will also pray to maybe being a sponsor of any gift or a monthly pledge would be wonderful.
It sure would. And the radio station has been very gracious to us and has even given us a special deal, too. So we can do commercials for you, too, if you have your own business. Sheila and I like to do commercials. We do a pretty good job.
We do.
And all you have to do to contribute to the ministry here is just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021.
You say that again, John.
Okay. That's Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or there is a partner with us button down on our homepage of our website, and all donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your address, either email or house address.
That's right. And you can also pledge tonight by calling 888-677-WORD and give Derek your information.
And please be sure to check out the webpage. Now, all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. It's a treasure trove of information. And you can order recorded teachings as well. Should we repeat the number? Or we got it. So 888-677-WORD. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live right here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars every Friday, first Friday of every month, because we're.
You always say every Friday.
Sometimes I wish we used to do it every.
Well,
Friday.
I know.
Yeah, the first Friday, of every month, not every month. It works both ways. Okay, first Friday of every month, because we're at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, which is close by to just about everything I'm learning. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump from Mayfield Heights. It's right off I-90. You can get to it. It's on 11815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306, and we start at 7 p.m., first Friday of every month there.
And in September, we have an extra day on the 5th, which is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, in Mentor at Lakeshore Assembly of God.
And that's a Thursday, right?
That's a Thursday. Yeah. So Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday this year, and we'll be Thursday in Mentor and Friday in Chester Christian.
Okay, please join us there if you can. We'd love to have you. Okay, let's see. Rosh Hashanah. That's the first of three yet unfulfilled fall appointments of God.
That's right.
That's
and at
what
the
we're
end,
talking about.
That's right. And at the end of the 6,000th year from Adam, and God only knows exactly when that is. We've tried to figure it out. We can't. We've messed up calendars through the years. God knows exactly when that is.
He sure does.
But the resurrection of the righteous, I do believe, will occur on the anniversary date of the creation of man. And it's also called the Feast of Trumpets.
Now, why is that?
Well, it's because it's a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. And you can read about that in Leviticus 23:23. And before you read it, just let me explain. It's called the memorial of the blowing of trumpets because all during Elul, they would blow a trumpet every single day to warn the people to repent that someday judgment was coming, okay, or the resurrection, which is the day of judgment, same difference.
Mm-hmm.
And on Rosh Hashanah, then there would be 100 trumpets blown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a feast of trumpets.
It's a buildup, isn't it?
And read, John, if you would, Leviticus 23:23.
I would like to speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And the word there, I believe, is mikra. That's Hebrew for rehearsal.
That's right. And it is the seventh month on the civil calendar. And it's the seventh month on the biblical calendar, religious calendar, and the first month on the civil calendar.
That's good. Got it.
It sometimes gets a little confusing, but it's definitely Tishrei is the
first month
of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Definitely.
And so, for 30 days prior, the Israelites would blow a trumpet, as I said, to remind them to examine themselves. And also, they don't want to miss the most exciting event called the resurrection.
Yes, and it's also, if you're still alive, it's the rapture.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in that right now. And let me clarify, as a born-again Christian, every day is a day we ask God for forgiveness.
Yeah, or if you're me, you do.
I'm every other day. No, I'm just kidding. But if you are not a Christian, this is the final warning before the rapture. Some year soon,
mm-hmm.
Or if you are backsliding maybe, or maybe you only have a head knowledge, not really a conversion of the heart, this would be a time to examine yourself. You know, when people say, well, I'm a Christian, and the way you'd know whether it's really in your heart is if you have a desire to study the Word of God. Then you know it's in your heart because you desire to know more about Him.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you're a Christian and you don't read the Word, I bet you only have a head knowledge. Now, I'm not God, so I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But chances are it could just be in your head because you realize it's the right thing to do, but you've never really personally had that conviction.
So why rehearse anymore? Just do it, right?
That's right. And remember, this is so important. God actually organized all this, all these feasts and everything, these detailed Jewish requirements with definite customs, using particular phrases that Jesus would naturally embrace to give us huge clues so to learn how it will be with us. And even Paul told us this in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Romans 15, that the things written before is for our learning today.
That's right. And mm-hmm. You know, when people tell me, oh, that's Jewish stuff, that's not for the church today. Well, then why did Paul say that things written in the Old Testament were for our learning? And that's
right.
The feast. Yeah. I mean, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know them, church.
Yeah, that really is the key.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all began.
And then also, John, why do you think Jesus would heal on the Sabbath? He healed a lot on the Sabbath, and it made the Pharisees mad.
Because healing was considered a work. But I think what he was really doing, he was showing us how the Sabbath would one day be fulfilled in him.
That's right.
Because he is Lord
Sabbath.
Of the Sabbath.
That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is listed along with all the other feasts in Leviticus 23.
Yeah.
Because he would fulfill that as well.
Yeah, there's actually eight if you include the Sabbath,
that's
right?
And his number is
eight. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other names, right? For
yes, there
this,
are.
A feast or rehearsal or...
That's right.
Gathering.
And we're going to have to probably go a little quicker than I would like to, but another name, of course, is called the Last Trump, and we really explain that in detail.
Yeah, that's for a more detailed explanation on that one, just go to the July 30th. We just did that show, July 30th of this year, 7/30/13. It's archived there at shofarministries.net.
Right, and it's a perfect example of why Rosh Hashanah is so important.
Yeah, it is an important one. Now, it's also called the coronation.
That's right. And in fact, Psalm 47:5 is called the coronation psalm. It talks about clapping your hands, all you people. And they would actually say it on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
They also would use the round loaf of bread. Now, why do you think it was round, John?
Well, I think it symbolizes a crown.
That's right.
And actually, I'll tell you, I know this. It's called a crown challah. And it's used at that time of the year. And they call it that because it looks like a crown. And they make it specifically for Rosh Hashanah.
That's right. And isn't it amazing that kings were crowned on Rosh Hashanah? Even if they had to take office sooner because of death or something,
mm-hmm.
they still had their coronation.
The formal ceremony.
On Rosh Hashanah.
That makes perfect sense.
So that makes perfect sense that Jesus would be crowned king on a Rosh Hashanah too, and we're going to be up there watching it.
Because Jesus is indeed a king.
That's right.
He's going to rule from the throne of David in Jerusalem.
You see how all this just fits?
It just fits. It's exciting. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It's also called Yom Teruah. Oh, you say Truah?
Truah, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't say Teruah.
I thought it was Teruah.
No, Truah. Yom Teruah.
Okay. Also means the awakening blast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's the Hebrew name, Yom Teruah, the awakening blast. It's a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. And
that's right.
Leviticus 23, again, verse 24 talks about that.
And it's a specific, it also means Teruah, a specific shofar sound, among other things. One of the longer, I think, ones.
Yes,
you know?
It does.
And this is also a time called Arise. They call it Arise, the resurrection of the dead.
That's right. In fact, I think we read that in Isaiah 26 when we were doing a study on that a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because at the resurrection of the dead, they're going to rise out of the dirt.
Yes, those who sleep in the dust.
And yeah. It's also, of course, the coming Messiah for his people at the rapture.
At the rapture.
And he will meet those that have died in the air as well.
That's right. They're first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet them, right?
That's right. That's right.
It's also called Open the Gates.
That's right.
Why is that?
Well, because on Rosh Hashanah it's said that the gates are opened, as we read in Isaiah 26 as well, and that the gates are closed on Yom Kippur.
The gates of what?
The gates of heaven are closed on Yom Kippur. And it's also called Nilah in Hebrew, but it makes sense because if the resurrection is on Rosh Hashanah, when they open the gates of heaven, we would enter in, which is what Isaiah 26 says.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that they're closed on Yom Kippur. And you know what? When Jesus comes back at the end of the 7 years, I believe it is going to be on a Yom Kippur. And once all eyes see him, the gates are closed. It's too late to repent.
Mm.
You have to do it before those gates are closed.
That's kind of scary.
Yes.
Day of Judgment.
Yes. And by the way, there are two. There's the Day of Judgment when he comes with to gather his people at the rapture because those that are left behind, kind of a judgment
for
them.
That is a judgment, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's also a Day of Judgment to us because we will be giving our rewards. It's like the Bema Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the other Day of Judgment is, as we just mentioned, Yom Kippur.
Right.
And when he comes back, those that have not accepted him as Lord and Savior will be judged as well. So there's two Day of Judgments coming, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And God is sometimes referred to as the Ancient of Days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you read Daniel 7, you'll see that the Ancient of Days is sitting on the throne, and the books containing the deeds of all humanity are opened before him. That would be our Day of Remembrance as well.
Hmm.
Which we'll talk about here in a second.
Okay. And also here, the chief of the year.
Yes,
or the head
course.
Of the year, if that's what it means. Right?
To be get over. Rosh Hashanah means the chief of the year, head of the year. And there's a certain kind of food that is served on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, tapuach udvash. I guess apples and honey. Right?
Yeah, or fruit and honey. Any fruit and honey.
For a sweet new year.
That's right. For a sweet new year.
Well, we have apples and honey on the first Friday of September at Shofar at Chester Christian.
Anybody wants to bring a May? No, we'll try to work that out.
Okay, let's work on that.
That's right.
Sounds good.
It's also called, now Rosh Hashanah is also called the Hidden Day because Rosh Hashanah is the only feast that begins on a new moon. Now that's saying something right there.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 81:3 talks about the hidden day, okay? And as well, on every month when there's a new moon, they would have a festive meal because it represents a type of a new beginning when the moon starts all over again.
A new beginning?
That's right. Like
the moon is born again.
That's right. And when we come to the Lord, we are born again, so we're like that new moon. And we grow and get bigger as we turn towards the sun and we become a full moon.
Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's a beautiful picture.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Also, it was a Jewish custom that they could only see the king on either a Sabbath or a new moon.
Now, that was interesting.
It was in 2 Kings 4:23. And he questions, what was her name? I'm trying to think of it, too.
I think I have it here, but he...
The Shunammite woman.
The Shunammite woman, yes, that's it.
Yes, and she wanted to go see the king, or to the man of God.
Yeah, because her son died, and she wanted to see the man of God, and her husband said, she says to her husband, I must go get to the man of God as fast as I can. I'll come straight back. And he asked, why are you going to him today? It isn't a Rosh Chodesh, which is the first, you know, and it isn't a Shabbat. It isn't a Sabbath.
That's right. It wasn't a new moon or a Sabbath. So that was when they went, you know, when
the king would see you. We have
the
audience,
man of God, maybe the high priest or whatever, was more accessible.
Right.
And I think it's interesting because if the rapture and resurrection is on a Rosh Hashanah, well, we know it's a new moon, but on the day that it would fall on a Sabbath, which isn't every year.
Right. It's not.
That would be an exciting day, I would think.
Yes. Yeah, because the moon calendar falls, the biblical calendar, it changes. It's not the same as our regular calendar.
Correct, so it's different every year.
So it'll be different every year, and when that happens, that's a good sign.
That's right,
right,
but it happens this year and next year.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, you know, that's exciting because, anyway, I get more excited when Rosh Hashanah, you know, is on a Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
and the Friday night would be ending into the Sabbath.
And this is a good rehearsal.
Yes. And, of course, the phrase, as I already mentioned once, no one knows the day or the hour, is strictly an idiom, a phrase for the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knew the day or the hour of the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
They had to sit on this mountain and wait for the sliver to happen. Mm-hmm. So when anyone ever said no one knows the day or the hour, they knew they were talking about Rosh Hashanah. And I think Jesus might have been hinting to that. But only if you know your Hebraic roots would you know that. And, of course, he would know when he said it that his close friends will know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just amazing.
Well, that's with the closer circle, the closer you get to God, the mm-hmm. more stuff he shows you. I mean, it's just...
Oh, I know.
That's just why we study the Word, and
that's
it's
right.
just so beautiful.
It's
it works
never
that
ending,
way.
Never ending.
And we got to call it, this is a day of remembrance.
Yeah, before we do that, let's talk about the wedding of the Messiah.
Oh, okay.
Because to us, that's really what it will be when we get raptured. We're going to have a wedding, aren't we?
So it's called Wedding of Messiah? I did not know that.
Well, to us.
To us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is one of the born-again Christian ones.
Oh, okay. All right.
But again, let me repeat, God organized detailed wedding requirements with particular phrases that Jesus would use to give us clues about how it would be with us. And some... One of these days, although I've talked about it before, we'll go over each detail of the wedding of the Messiah.
Oh, yes. We got to do that.
Yeah, maybe we could do that even maybe next week and give details
yeah.
on how we fulfill that.
That's cool.
It's yeah. pretty amazing.
And now I think we've got one more, and it's called Day of Remembrance.
That's right. Now, it's called the Day of Remembrance because, again, it's the Day of Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are called to go up with Jesus, we will actually be given our rewards. So the books will be opened that will say exactly what our rewards should be according to what we've done as born-again Christians.
Because they're in our books and they're written there as a remembrance?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Right. Let's just go to Malachi 3 real quick.
Do you have it?
I can get it.
I don't think I have that one turned to.
I can. It's just the last book of the Old Testament, so it's pretty easy.
Mm. I hear the pages turning.
Yes. Okay. I do have it here.
Malachi 3.
That's right. And I'm going to read verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So in other words, every time that we talk about the Lord,
mm-hmm.
he's listening. He hears us. And it says, a book of remembrance was written before him. Why? So he could write down for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. And again, that is that book that's going to be opened when we get up there. So it's called the Day of Remembrance because on Rosh Hashanah, I believe, we will be called up and we will have our judgment to see what we've done. And we will get rewards.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And that day may be very soon, sooner than we think. But thank God there's always a remnant that really want to get close to God by learning as much as, or more than they would have normally learned on their own. But joining us on the radio and listening to this program, going to the website, web pages, and really searching their Bibles, it's just you desire to be closer to the Lord, and that's the way you do it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So there's a lot of expressions that represent Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
And we went through, I think, all of them. I don't know if I missed one or not. But I think the one that means the most to me, again, is that wedding of the Messiah.
Yeah.
You know?
That is a good one.
And he'll be crowned king, and that'll be exciting because he sits at the right hand of the Father right now. He makes intercession for us. He has not been crowned king yet,
Mm-mm. And
we will be there to see that.
We're
going to be queen. We'll be the queen. Amen?
You put it that way, I guess we will be, right?
That's right. So, are you saved? Are you blood-bought, washed, and know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, there is still time for you. Or perhaps you know someone that might need a nudge to increase in the full knowledge of God. You know, Colossians 1:10 actually talks about being in the full knowledge of God.
So there's knowledge and there's full knowledge.
And a lot of the translations just use the word knowledge. But when I was reading the interlinear for the Colossians 1:10, mm-hmm. it actually does say full knowledge.
In my Bible, it reads that way, too. It says, so that you may live lives worthy of the Lord and entirely pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and multiplying in the full knowledge of God.
That's right.
And that's important.
It's full knowledge, not just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, have you neglected God's word? Have you spent more time in his presence than in pursuing personal pleasure or gain? Has your love for him been passionate? We should all pray as King David prayed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's Psalm 139:23. As a Christian, this should be a daily pursuit. You know, true teshuvah will always lead to a positive advancement in your spiritual life, especially with the shofar sounded every day leading up to the finale of 100 sounds on Rosh Hashanah. And, of course, that is known as the last trump. So, I'm looking forward to the Feast of Trumpets this year. And let me ask you, if he sounds the trumpet this year, will you go up?
That's a good question. Well, I think we've just about run out of time, but I want to say that thank you for choosing to spend your evening with us here. You're like Mary. You've chosen the better part.
That's right.
Her sister Martha was doing the dishes and bringing the food, and she complained to the Lord that, hey, she's doing all the work. I'm doing nothing. But he says Mary's chosen the best part. She was at the feet of Jesus listening to his teaching.
Right. That's right. So don't worry about the cares of this life. They'll always be there.
Right. You can repent anytime, anywhere. You could do that right now. If you haven't, just get real with God. He'll get real with you. I guarantee you that. Just get on your knees and just tell him your sins and acknowledge that they are sin, and especially those ones that are weighing you down. And then just commit your life to Yeshua, your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity.
That's right. It's your decision. And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples.
That's right.
Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep. For he is the great shepherd.
He certainly is. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That's number 6, 22 through 27, the Aaronic blessing. So, join us again next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Please consider a financial gift to keep this program on the air. Until then,
Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And you know what? It's not a maybe.
That's not a maybe.
That's a definite.
That's Psalm 122, 6.
That's right. So we'll hopefully see you and hear from you again.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on 8.